Welcome back. I hope you had a good week. Everyone's safe and sound, I trust. We finished up last week. We were talking about the Ten Commandments, loving God. I got about halfway through the sermon and didn't want to be guys too long, so I cut that in half. Pick up in talking about loving God through the Ten Commandments.
Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, we get into the third. You should not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Now, I'm really lucky. I didn't grow up at home with a lot of swearing. So that never became really part of my peach pattern, right? My heart always goes out. We were in Bible school, and we had this one guy. He grew up in a rough environment. He became a biker later on, hung out in bars, and he was just a really rough kind of guy, and he got saved. And God called him into the ministry. So in school, he was preparing for the ministry. His biggest struggle was, you hit your thumb, get up, and sometimes the words would come out because it was just so ingrained with him. And to really change a speech pattern because a very hard thing. I turn around and I watch these videos sometimes. I feel bad for you. I just do it occasionally, try to get it up online and try to do all those things. And it drives me nuts because I find myself saying, okay, am I right? Are you with me? I find certain patterns I fall myself into that I don't even know. And some of you who are at home, who listen to the messages, who watch the messages, you can pick up on that. Oh, he said that again. Oh, he said that again. I was in a church and I had a lady that every time I said the word through, she'd mark a little check on her bulletin. And so finally she'd come up to me after the service and she'd be like, Pastor, you said the word through like 30 times in your message. That's what happens, I guess, when you're boring. Some people count ceiling tiles, some people count the hymnals. She was just keeping track. That's kind of the equivalent to a church drinking game. Every time the pastor says this, you do something, right? And so people come up, and some people complain, say, "Well, Pastor, you talk too fast, so you do this." And I've tried to slow down, I've tried to do things, and I can't help it because it's how I'm wired. It's my speech pattern. Those things are difficult to change. They can be changed. So my heart goes out to people who grew up with that coarse language, that grew up with it, and it's instilled in them, and it's hard to undo that. So it's easy for me to say, "Hey, I don't swear. I don't do that." You get all haughty and all puffed up. So this one doesn't apply to me. Hold on a second, because it's deeper than that. I mean, it doesn't include the idea of using God's word in vain, or even the idea we live in a society where you turn around, we have a lot of, OMG, that's, oh my God, that's using God in an improper way. But it's deeper than all that. The term here for taking his name in vain, that word vain, means to make empty. To take God's word, God's name, and make it worthless, and make it empty. And that goes a whole lot deeper than just the language. When I turn around and use it as a swear word, I'm not meaning it in a reverent way. I mean it in a derogatory way. Actually, that's sort of the base type of language. We turn around and we get down to that and really use that word as a trash word, as a derogatory towards others or the situation. We take that word that should be exalted, the name of Jesus, that is name above all names, and we bring it down to the lowest of lows. We take the mighty name of God and make it worthless or less. But like I said, these go even deeper than that. We turn around and we look at this idea of making it empty. What do I do with that name? As a Christian, I wear the name of Christ. And this really stuck in my head several years ago. I was working at a mill. And the boss told me, he goes, "John, we need someone to go out and get some supplies. Will you do it?" And I was like, hey, this is a great job. Get out of here. I can drive around. They give me gas money. I get to leave the plant. They give me some food for some lunch. I said, that life is great. And I was heading out the door. He gave me the keys. He goes, remember one thing. You're driving the company truck. And it kind of struck me back. I said, well, yeah. He goes, the name of our company is on the side of the truck. Drive well. If you cut off someone, if you turn around and, you know, speed, you turn around to see the cop car behind you, all those things, you are wearing the name of the company. It's not your name, it's our name that you're dragging through the mud. As Christians, we wear the name of Christ. We are Christians, Christ. We belong to Him. And in here, if I turn around and live a life that's opposite of what He would want me to be, it's like wearing a t-shirt that says Christ on it, and then doing my various things. I always kind of cringe. I don't have a little fish on my car. I know a lot of Christians will put that fish on there as a symbol of that they're a Christian. The other people will go on the road and see how they, you know, oh, there's another Christian on the road. But you know what I find out? A lot of times I'm going in, the guy who cut me off has a little fish on it. Right? You know, the guy who speeds, the guy who throws the thing out the window, all these things. And as I look at that, I'm like, dude, first, you know, don't do that. Or do that. I don't want to be sexist. But you turn around and say, don't do that. But yet, if they turn around and declare that I'm a Christian who's doing that, oh, that doubly pains me. Imagine what it does to him. I'm making his name empty and worthless. It's interesting, in the book of Acts, a declaration goes out. It goes against Israel, because Israel was supposed to bring the nations and direct them to God. And there's a phrase in there that said that the Gentiles rejected the true God because of you. And I'll tell you, one of the things that's most humbling to me is I look at what's going on. As I live in this world, we need to be out and about and among the... But if my actions are turning people away from Christ, I'm taking His name in vain. You know, over the years, I've talked to a lot of different people and I said, you know what? I'd go to church if it wasn't for all those Christians. And unfortunately, just because you're a Christian doesn't mean that you're not an idiot or a jerk sometimes. Now, once again, we talk about these things, and I read this, okay, I don't swear, I don't have that, you know, vocabulary, I don't do that. Oh, I'm okay. Well, man, all of a sudden I've gone from preaching to meddling. All of a sudden now in my life, I'm stepping on my toes. This is hurting me because, you know what? I wear Christ's name pretty empty sometimes. Through my actions, through my deed. That sometimes in my life, I go along with the crowd. I do what everyone else is doing when I know it's wrong. I'm thankful that despite these things, God still loves me. The law is not bad. The standard isn't bad. But we fall short. And that's why He brings us to Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that He says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just, forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But truly, I'll tell you, by this point, we're only three into this, and I'm already feel convicted. And all I can do is run to Jesus and say, I'm not worthy. But He loves me and accepts me for who He is. Number 4. Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. It says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor to do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. And in it you shall do no work. you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your female servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." I think out of all the Ten Commandments, this is the one that's like, okay, well, you like the idea of this. My wife is like, you know, I love the idea of a Sabbath. And she goes, "John, when are we going to get a day off? When is the day we have a whole day where we can unplug?" Oh, that sounds so great, doesn't it? But he says, remember the Sabbath. And keep it holy. Keep a day aside for God. Now, today it's interesting because, once again, growing up, anything on Sunday, we weren't allowed to do. We didn't shop on Sundays. We didn't go out on Sundays. If we, for some reason, didn't go to church, we couldn't go outside until church was over. And the idea was, this is the Sabbath day. Well, technically, the seventh day, week starts on Sunday. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Saturday is the last day of the week. So the Jews to this day celebrate the Sabbath day, that day of rest. And they had a lot of rules and regulations and what defines work, and things got really complicated real fast. And actually, when Jesus was here on earth, he healed someone on Saturday and they rebuked him for breaking the Sabbath. And Jesus is like, whoa, wait, you guys got this all mixed up. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. They didn't hear that. Sabbath was for our benefit. It's not a rule or regulations to be crippling us, but a day to free us. Well, as beginning here of the church, that the Jews were getting saved. The early church was mostly Jews, and they would do is they would go to the synagogue on Saturday, and then they would meet on the first day of the week, which is Sunday, to worship Jesus. Well, then as Gentiles got saved, things got a little more complicated. And so the question is, does a Gentile have to keep the Sabbath day? And I think the answer to that is no. That we are freed from that, but now Christ is our rest. We'll get into that in just a second. But Romans chapter 14, verse 5 says, "One person esteems one day above another, another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind." Now in here, we have freedom in Christ. We're not held by the bondage of the Sabbath. If you want to keep the Sabbath, that'd be Saturday and not Sunday. If you're going to keep it, might as well keep it correctly. And there's nothing wrong with that. But Romans tells us that in this case, look, we have the freedom. Because I am in Christ, I should worship Him every day. Every day should be holy. Every day should be sacred to Him. I should wake up every day. First thing I should say, God, thank you for this day. The psalmist says, "This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." And we celebrate and rejoice in each day He has given us. And He is our rest. But if you want to take one day and set it aside as a special day, Romans says, you know what, that's okay. That's between you and God. If you want to treat every day sort of the same and worship God in it, that is fine too. Let your conscience be your guide in this. How you serve God. Further in Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, it says, "No one judge you in food and in drink, or regarding festivals or new moons or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance is of Christ." All these rules and regulations, these Ten Commandments, bring us to Christ. Right? Either I fall short of these things, right? We talk about this, you know, talking about the name of the Lord in vain. Then either I fall short of that, not by my words, but by my actions. It brings me to Christ because I need that forgiveness from Him. That having no other God before Him, that I put myself on the throne, I put other things on that throne of my life, and not God, that I need to come to Christ for Him to work in me. All these things bring us to Him. The Sabbath is no different. That we don't need a day of rest. Well, you may disagree with that. Maybe you want a day or two for rest. I don't blame you. But in here, our rest is in Christ. Our security is in Him. And we have that all the time. We talk about this time with the coronavirus, that we bow ourselves down, that He is our rest. I'm not afraid because I am in Christ. I'm prudent, I'm trying to be wise, but I'm not afraid because I am in Him. He is in control. And I yield to Him, and I find that perfect peace within Him. He is my Sabbath. So we need not to judge one another of that. If someone is so led to keep a day and keep it sacred, God bless you in that. As long as you're not doing it under a bondage, not doing it because you're afraid what other people are going to say, but you do it out of a free heart to God. If you want to keep the same thing every day and worship Him every day, God bless you in that, and you find that freedom to do that in Christ. Follow your conscience sake for that. But the principle of it is great, of taking time to pause, because we're so busy. I think one of the positives, if I dare say this, of all this whole corona thing, that has really kind of slowed everyone down. Some of you are home with your kids. That hasn't happened for a long time. You're going to have to deal with them. You're going to have to look at them. You're going to have to play with them. You're going to have to do... But this is a good thing. That hopefully out of all this will bring our relationships and bring that down, that we can have fellowship with one another in all of this. And hopefully in this, it will turn our hearts to God as well. Hopefully this time of isolation, if you will help us contemplate the bigger picture. Because we're so busy. I'm so busy, I don't have time for church. I don't have time for God. I don't have time to read my Bible. I don't have time to pray. All these things going on, and now God has kind of forced us to use the circumstances to stop us. And we don't know what to do with it. And hopefully it will be used to reconnect us all. Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 11, 28 to 30. He says, "Come to me, all you who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus is our rest. Take my yoke upon you. Take what He wants us to do. God's not going to ask us to do things we can't do. God's not going to ask us things that will be beyond us through His ability and power through us. Here's a good exercise I've started to do in my life. Is that at the end of the day, do I ask myself, God, have I done what You wanted me to do? Not have I done everything the church wants me to do? Have I done everything my neighbor wants me to do? Have I done everything my boss wants me to do? I mean, these things kind of fall into place. But the real question is, at the end of the day, God, have I done what You wanted me to do? And if so, I can close my eyes and rest. Because there's so much things out of my control. You know, this very period of time, I know a lot of you have been isolated. My phone's been ringing off the hook. A lot of people ask me, well, what can they do? All these things, touching base. So all of this has ramped up my life. And I wish I could fix it all. I wish I could give everything to everyone, provide all those things. But at the end of the day, I can come to the Lord and say, okay, Lord, it's at Your feet. I've done all that You've wanted me to do, and Lord, now it's up to You. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. I do want to end with this in the book of Ephesians. So you know, we got more people who are going to be tuning on. We're going to turn around and put this on Facebook, and we're going to put this on YouTube, and we're going to put this on the church's website. We're trying to get these things out there for all people to be a part. You know, on the church website, you can go in there and click resources and prayer, and you can send in your prayer requests, and we will pray for you. We're going to try to keep everyone all up to date on what's going on and try to keep the body together. Encourage and meet the needs in our community, be part of the solution and not part of the problem. All these things are going on, and so I know a lot of people are probably listening for the first time, and all these things I want to tell you, not as a legalistic bunch of rules to pound you over the head in, but in here, the rules, the regulations, the Ten Commandments bring us to a point where I can't do this, but I need You, God. That all these things, I fall short. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. God, I fall short. But through the blood of Jesus Christ, through His forgiveness of sin, I am welcomed in the Beloved. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through 6 through 7 says, "To the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved." In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. These are wonderful verses. It says, praise to the glory of His grace. Grace is God giving me what I don't deserve. God's grace, His blessings upon me. I don't deserve it. It's not that, hey, look at these Ten Commandments. Actually, we just talked about four. And God, hey, look, I measure up. Look how good I am. God, oh, pat myself on the back. No, I look at them, I realize I fall short, and yet He offers His love towards me as a grace. Not that I deserve it, because He chooses to. And by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. My goodness will never get me to heaven. No matter how much I try, because I will fall short. Like I said, we just covered four verses here this morning, four commandments, and I fall short. You fall short. All of us fall short. And how do we get accepted? Because Jesus Christ has made us acceptable by what He did. That He took the penalty for my sin. He took in the gap where I fall short. And He has forgiven us. He has paid for that all through His blood. That's where the rest of this verse goes in. Verse 7 says, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. That Jesus died on the cross, shed His blood to pay the penalty for our sins. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And if you've never done that, He offers that salvation, that free gift of salvation to everyone. And no matter where you are, where you're at, God longs to have that relationship with you. The Bible says He's a jealous God. He wants that number one place in your life, and He is so worth it. You know, I would give up everything to keep Jesus. And the shame and reproach, the wrong that I've done, He paid the penalty for that. It's an old song that says, Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. I'm not going to sing it. I'll spare you. The coronavirus is bad enough. But through this, we have redemption through His blood. Right? What fills that gap? Why should I be accepted? Not because I'm good enough, because I can't be. But because Jesus is enough. No matter where you are, the Bible says salvation is simple. If you will confess your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. That God came down in flesh in Jesus Christ. That He died on the cross. Not for wrongs that He has done, but for your wrongs, for your sins, for mine. And Jesus took all those and He took the penalty. If we will ask Him to come into our lives, ask Him to forgive of our sins, and serve Him, He says He will save us. What a blessing that can be in all this. Let's pray. Our dear and Father, we thank You. Lord, as I look at the mirror of the law, I fall short. Lord, I'm not good enough. But Lord, You looked at me in my lostness. You looked at me in my failures and loved me. And Lord, if anyone is willing to accept You, Lord, You will come in and You will make them acceptable. Doesn't matter what they've done. Doesn't matter how far they've wandered. Or even those who think they're good enough, Lord, I pray that the law will do its perfect work, Lord, to realize none of us are good enough. If people are relying on, hey, I'm good enough for heaven, the law will quickly cut them in, put them in place. All of us need Jesus. Lord, I pray right now, Lord, You reach into the lives of those who are listening, who are watching. Open their eyes to the love that You offer them. We ask this in Your name. Amen.